नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are going to discuss the 14th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled as The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Sri Suta Goswami said, Arjun went to Dwarka to see Lord Sri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. A few months passed and Arjun did not return. Maharaj Yudhishthir then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves. He saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends, and in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. So these are the inauspicious omens that prevailed after Krishna's disappearance. Krishna disappeared and Dwapar Yuga ended and Kali Yuga began. And right at the beginning of that change, all these inauspicious signs became prevalent. So Yudhishthir Maharaj became very perturbed. He became very disturbed that these inauspicious omens are prevailing everywhere. And he was apprehensive that maybe Krishna left. But just as one does not want to think of the bad things, so Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't want to think about it. He was seeing all these inauspicious omens, inauspicious signs. And these are the very clear symptoms of the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, these things, these symptoms will become more and more prevalent. We are seeing how it is happening, as it's described in this verse. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers, and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. So, these are the symptoms of the age of Kali. In course of time, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, pride, etc. Maharaj Yudhishthir, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother. Maharaj Yudhishthir said to his younger brother, Bhimsen, I sent Arjun to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes as Devarshi Narad indicated? Has the time already arrived? Narad Muni hinted to Yudhishthir Maharaj that Krishna will soon withdraw his pastimes. He will leave this material nature and go back to the spiritual sky. And so it was in the back of Yudhishthir Maharaj's mind, but he didn't want to think of it. He didn't hope that it would happen. From him only, all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. Just see, O man with a tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions and bodily pains, all very dangerous in themselves, are foreboding danger in the near future by deluding our intelligence. The left side of my body, my thighs, arms and eyes are quivering again and again. I am having heart palpitation due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. So these are the indications of inauspicious happening. These are the inauspicious signs. Quivering of the left side of the body, of thighs, arms and eyes. And Yudhishthir Maharaj saying that his heart was palpitating due to fear, which is unusual for a person like Yudhishthir Maharaj, who was a Kshatriya. The Kshatriyas do not know what fear is. And then on top of that, he is extremely virtuous, extremely pious. So a person like him is completely fearless, but he's saying that his heart, not only is becoming afraid, but his heart is palpitating. Just see, O Bhim, how the she-jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire, and how the dog barks at me fearlessly. O Bhimshen, tiger amongst men, now useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to weep upon seeing me. Just see, this pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows make my heart tremble. It appears that they want to make a void of the whole universe. Just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and the mountains are throbbing. Just hear the cloudless thunder and see the bolts from the blue. The wind blows violently, blasting dust everywhere and creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters. The rays of the sun are declining, and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping. Rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs, and the mind are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignite fire. What is this extraordinary time? What is going to happen? The calves do not suck the teats of the cows, nor do the cows give milk. they are standing, crying, tears in their eyes. And the bulls take no pleasure in the pasturing grounds. The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. They seem about to leave. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us. I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. O Brahmana Shaunaka, while Maharaj Yudhishthir observing the inauspicious signs on the earth at that time, was thus thinking to himself, Arjun came back from the city of the Jadus, Dwarka. When he bowed at his feet, the king saw that his dejection was unprecedented. His head was downed and tears gliding from his lotus eyes. Seeing Arjun pale due to heartfelt anxieties, the king, remembering the indications of the sage Narada, questioned him in the midst of friends. Maharaj Yudhishthir said, My dear brother, please tell me whether our friend and relatives such as Madhu, Bhoj, Dasharha, Arha, Shatvata, Andhaka and the members of the Jodhu family are all passing their days in happiness. Is my respectable grandfather Sursen in a happy mood? And are my maternal uncle Vasudev and his younger brothers all doing well? His seven wives, headed by Devaki, are all sisters. Are they and their sons and daughters-in-law happy? Are Ugrasen, whose son was the mischievous Kamsa, and his younger brothers still living? Are Ridhika and his son Kritavarma happy? Are Akrura, Jayanta, Gada, Shravan and Shatrajit all happy? How is Balaram, the personality of Godhead and the protector of devotees? How is Pradyumna, the great general of the Vrishni family? Is he happy? And is Aniruddha, the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, faring well? Are all the chieftain sons of Lord Krishna, such as Shushen, Charudeshna, Samba, the son of Jambavati, and Rishabha, along with their sons, all doing well? Also, Shrutadev, Uddhava, and others, Nanda, Sunanda, and other leaders of liberated souls, who are constant companions of the Lord, are protected by Lord Balaram and Krishna. Are they all doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are all eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare? Is Lord Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by friends? The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balaram, the primeval Lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of Jadu dynasty for the welfare, protection, and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Jadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky.
Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens at Dwarka, headed by Satyabhama, induced the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controllers of thunderbolts. The great heroes of the Jodhu dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect, and therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them. My brother Arjuna, please tell me whether your health is all right. You appear to have lost your bodily luster. Is this due to others disrespecting and neglecting you because of your long stay at Dwarka? Has someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you? Could you not give charity to one who asked, or could you not keep your promise to someone? You are always the protector of the deserving living beings, such as brahmanas, children, cows, women, and the diseased. Could you not give them protection when they approached you for shelter? Have you contacted a woman of impeccable character, or have you not properly treated a deserving woman? Or have you been defeated on the way by someone who is inferior or equal to you? Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaurnithai Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada. Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected. Thus ends the 14th chapter, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. So, this chapter is describing the most unfortunate happening that can ever happen to anyone or to this world: disappearance of Sri Krishna. When Krishna comes, the whole world becomes filled with auspiciousness. When Krishna appeared at the time, all the planetary systems became absolutely perfect. No other arrangements for celestial bodies can be more perfect than that arrangement. Why? Because Krishna was to appear. And then the whole world became blessed. The gopis sang that way. The Jayati Tethi Kam Janmana Braja Shrayata Indira Shashvadatrahi. Because you have taken birth in Braja, the Braja has become blessed. Janmana Braja Jayati Tethi Kam. Braja became glorified. Vrindavan became glorified. And since then, Shrayata Indira Shashwadatri. Lakshmi Devi Indira is always residing here. So when Krishna comes, Lakshmi Devi comes in Krishna. And wherever Krishna is, Lakshmi Devi is always there. And who is Lakshmi Devi? She is the bestower of good fortune. Shri indicates opulence, beauty, good fortune, and all auspiciousness. So that is Lakshmi Devi's benediction. That is the effect of Lakshmi Devi's presence. Wherever there is Lakshmi Devi, there is all auspiciousness. Of course, wherever there is Krishna, there is all auspiciousness. And wherever there is Krishna, there is Lakshmi Devi. But when Krishna left, all the good fortune of this planet disappeared. Of course, Krishna never leaves. Krishna withdrew his pastimes. Aprakat. Prakat become means manifest, and aprakat means unmanifest. Krishna's activities, Krishna and his pastimes become manifest in front of our eyes. We can see Krishna during his Prakat Leela. Krishna always resides in the spiritual sky. But Krishna also comes to the earth planet from time to time. He comes as his incarnations, and he comes as he himself, in his original form, Swayam Rupa. Swayam Rupa Kadamayam. Swayam Rupa. There Krishna has Swayam Rupa, and then Tadekatma Rupa, Prakash and Vaibhav. So Krishna, his original form, Krishna's immediate expansion, which is non-different from himself, and then expansion of Krishna in the form of different incarnations. So Krishna, through these expansions, become manifest to this earth planet. Krishna and his expansions become manifest, and when they are manifest, we can see them. Although Krishna is adhokshaja, beyond our sense perception, but we can see Krishna. And then Krishna leaves, withdraws his pastime. That is aprakati. Why Krishna comes? Krishna comes to make us realize, or make us see, make us understand that how wonderful he is. Like we may hear about someone's greatness, we may hear about someone's glory, we may hear about someone's strength, we may hear about someone's beauty, but just by hearing, we may not be able to properly understand what it is like. But when that personality comes in front of us and we see his wonderful acts, wonderful beauty, wonderful opulence, wonderful strength, then we become attracted. Therefore, those who are present at the time of Krishna's pastime, you have to understand that they are extremely fortunate. It is due to their good fortune they are able to be present on the planet when Krishna comes. They are not ordinary people, those who actually come, take birth at the time of Krishna's Prakat Leela and get a chance to enter into Krishna's pastime. Who are those living entities? Those who get a chance to take part on this planet and participate in Krishna's pastimes. Those who have become almost perfected with their devotion. Those who became perfected with devotion, they get a chance to enter into Krishna's pastimes on the Homa Leela, on this earthly planet, and take part in Krishna's pastimes, and then they become Krishna's eternal associates. For example, and it has been described like some of the gopis could not, when Krishna played the flute and invited the gopis to come to Rasa dance, some of the gopis could not go because their family members stopped them. They locked their doors. They kept them inside the room. They couldn't go. So what did they do? They left their body and went and entered into Krishna's pastime. And Prabhupada is explaining that these gopis are actually the sadhana siddhas, those who achieve their perfection by sadhana. There are two types of liberated, two types of perfected souls. Sadhana siddhas and nitya siddhas. The sadhana siddhas achieve perfection by practice, and nitya siddhas are already perfected. The nitya siddha associates of Krishna come from the spiritual sky along with Krishna. But the sadhana siddhas are the ones, those who are in the material nature, but by practicing devotional service, they are achieving perfection. So they gradually become elevated to, finally, when they are almost perfect, they get a chance to take birth in Krishna's pastimes on the planet. Krishna's pastimes are always going on in some planet or other. Not only in some planet, Krishna's pastimes are continuously going on in many, many planets. Regarding that also, Prabhupada is giving the example, just the sun is present that in the form of time, present at every place. Like for example, somewhere in the earth, in this planet, the sun is now rising. Somewhere, like here, its sun is moved to, it's 8:20, 8:23. Somewhere, it is 9:20. Somewhere it is 10:20. Like throughout the earth planet, the sun, every aspect of sun is present. Somewhere it's rising, somewhere it is midday, somewhere it is afternoon, somewhere it is sun is setting. So in this way the sun's presence in the form of time is present everywhere. Similarly, Krishna's pastimes are constantly going on in different universes, in different earth planets in those universes. Somewhere Krishna has just taken birth, somewhere Krishna is just killing Putana. Somewhere Krishna is killing Trinavarta. Somewhere Krishna is dancing Rasa dance. And in this way, all of Krishna's pastimes are continuously going on in different planets. So that is how inconceivable Krishna is. So the sadhana siddhas, the sadhana siddha devotees, finally get a chance to enter into Krishna's bhoma lila. Krishna's pastimes on the earth planet are known as bhoma lila. So in the bhoma lilas they get a chance to enter. And by participating in those pastimes they become perfected. And then they become Krishna's eternal associates. So these gopis who could not partake, who could not go to the rasa dance with their present body, they left their body and in this way they entered into Krishna's eternal associates. So we have to understand that those who take part in Krishna's pastimes are those who are able to be on the planet when Krishna performs his pastimes are extremely fortunate individuals. And especially those who enter into Krishna's pastimes. But at the same time there is another consideration. That even though we may not be present in Krishna's pastimes, we can always enter into Krishna's pastimes. Because Krishna is always present. Krishna is present in the heart of the living entities. Krishna is present in everyone's heart. And everybody has the facility, everybody has the prerogative to develop his relationship with Krishna. And then we also have the opportunity to see Krishna in the temple. That is also non-different. Krishna in the temple is again non-different from Krishna himself. When the Brahmin from Vidyanagar, the Shakshi Gopal, for whom Gopal became the witness, Shakshi. When he came to Gopal and asked him to come with him to Vidyanagar to become his witness, because he got married in front of Gopal and Gopal was the witness, and now they are demanding to prove that he was really married to that Brahmana girl, rich Brahmana's daughter. He has to bring the witness. So he asked Gopal to come because he was the only witness. He said, "You have to come and bear witness." And Gopal said, "Look, how can I go? I am just a murti. I can't move." Then that Brahmin, his faith in Krishna was so strong. He reasoned with him. He said, "Look, if you can speak, then you can walk. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can very well walk. You can do anything. You may be standing in the altar as a deity, but you are non-different from Krishna. You are Krishna." So, Haripo, welcome Ganga and Abhimanyu. Ganga Prabhu just came from Mayapur, and along with Abhimanyu from Italy. What time did you arrive? What time did you arrive? 12 o'clock? Oh, it was late. The flight landed at what time? 12? Around 10:30. Okay. Welcome. So let's greet Ganga Prabhu and Abhimanyu Prabhu with our usual Hari Bols.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
So that is how a devotee has full conviction that the deity on the altar is none other than Krishna himself. I can see at least the Hari Bol means something. It awoke some devotee love. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether he is in the form of a deity or whether he is in the form of even as a painting, is non-different from Krishna. Krishna's painting, actually Krishna's deities are of 8 kinds. Out of 8 different ways, Krishna becomes manifest as his Archavita. They are Shaili, made of stone, Darumai, made of wood, Lepa, made out of painting, Lekha, sketch, and then finally Monomoi and Monimoi, made of jewels and made of mind stuff, Monomoi. Mind is a substance. And Krishna becomes manifest in the mind. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Jai Shri Shri Kaunik. And they are non different from Krishna himself. Actually, it has been described that one who thinks that Krishna's vigraha is not Krishna himself, he is a resident of hell. Naraki. Narak means hell, and Naraki means one who resides in hell. So one who thinks that Krishna's deities are different from Krishna and not Krishna, they are actually the residents of hell. That means they are in a very, very gross material consciousness. So the more we make spiritual advancement, more it becomes clear to us that Krishna's deities are Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stand in front of Lord Jagannath in the other end of the temple by the Garuda Stambha. He used to have his hand, right hand, on the resting on Garuda Stambha, and he used to look at Lord Jagannath. And tears used to come out of his eyes in such ecstasy that the whole place used to get flooded. Now how was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing Lord Jagannath? Apparently Lord Jagannath is an incomplete form. Apparently it's an incomplete form. The nose and other limbs, mouth, they are not manifest properly. His hand is incomplete. It just doesn't have the fingers and palms. Because his legs are not there. So how Mahaprabhu was seeing that, he was feeling such emotion towards him. What was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing? Normally a person will see that a wooden form, which is also not very properly carved. But Mahaprabhu was seeing the Lord of his heart. সেই তো পরানাথ পাইন যাহা লাগি মদন দহনে ঝরি গেন। I found, now I found the Lord of my heart, for whom I am feeling the influence of Cupid. That means he is feeling in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Mahaprabhu is singing. He is seeing Krishna as the Lord of his, Lord of our heart. And she is becoming afflicted with loving desire to, just by seeing Sri Chaitanya Jagannath Mahaprabhu felt this emotion. So this is how a devotee sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, is seeing Lord Jagannath. I remember once in Navadvip, I saw a man. We were crossing the river, and one man, he was carrying his deity, small deity. And somehow the deity got dropped in the river, and he couldn't find the deity. And he was crying. His condition was something like someone who lost his, like a mother who lost her son. He was crying like a madman, trying to, because he lost his deity. From that you can see, like, what a deep devotion that person must have for Krishna. And this is how a devotee feels about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To him, he is not the deity, he is Krishna himself. And the more we develop our devotion, the more we will develop this attachment to the Lord. Nowadays, the deities have become so easily available. One can go to Loi Bazaar in Vrindavan or Navadvip, some shop, and buy. Don't even cost very much, ranging from few rupees to few hundred or few thousand rupees. Became so easily available. But if we consider the case of King Indradumna, King Indradumna was the king, and he wanted to get the darshan of the Lord. And he left everything. He became so eager to see the Lord that he left everything. He lost interest in his kingdom, he lost interest in everything. All he wanted is just to see the Lord. And that was in Satya Yuga. So the minister said that, look, it's not possible now to see the Lord. In order to see the Lord, you have to go and perform meditation, not only for so many years, but for many, many thousands of years, you have to. And then if you achieve perfection, then you can see the Lord in your heart. That's the only way you can see the Lord. Then a brahmana came, a pilgrim, wandering mendicant, in the assembly, and said that, yes, but the Lord is present in his deity form in the Niladri mountain on the bank of the saltwater ocean. And by just giving that news, he disappeared. And the king sent his men to all the different directions to find out where is the Niladri mountain on the bank of the saltwater ocean. Then the head priest, Vidyapati, found that deity, the deity of Nilanda. At that time there was only one deity present on the planet, just one deity of the Lord. This is how rare the deity of the Lord is. The deity of the Lord is not a commodity that you can buy in the marketplace. The deity of the Lord is actually His personal manifestation. He Himself, out of His causeless mercy, becomes manifest. That is how we have to see the Lord. Radha Madan Mohan is not, it's not that we carved, some murti wala carved them in Jaipur and brought them here and then we installed them. No. Radha Madan Mohan, Lalita Vishakha, Krishna Balaram, Sandipani Muni, and Gaumitai. Out of their causeless mercy they have become manifest. So that we can see them, we can offer our prayers to them, we can worship them, we can dress them, we can decorate them. Out of their causeless mercy they have manifest. But at the same time we have the option either to believe and not to believe that this is Krishna. In order to make us not believe, these are all those other factors. The Murtiwala in Jaipur carved them. And so forth. A piece of marble, the whitest piece of marble was selected from Makrana. And then the Murtiwala carved. And yes, one can see it that way. But a devotee will not see it that way. This material cause of manifestation of the Lord is not important to him. To him what really matters is that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became visible in front of our eyes in this way. Otherwise we wouldn't have been able to see him. The way the Lord becomes manifest through His, stone or clay or wood is because we cannot see His spiritual form. We can only see wood and stone and clay. Our eyes can see only wood, stone and clay. Therefore He manifests Himself through wood, stone and clay so that we can see. This is how we have to perceive His causeless mercy. And it is our great good fortune that He has become manifest. Yes, He is there in our hearts, but we cannot see Him now because we don't have the proper vision. Our vision has become contaminated with our material senses. Our spiritual vision has been covered over with this material body and the senses. But the Lord became manifest in His Archa Vigraha, in His deity form, in front of us so that we can perceive Him, so that we can develop a relationship with Him, so that we can render service unto Him, so that we can touch Him. We can see Him, we can touch Him, and then when our senses become perfect, we will be able to hear Him. We will be able to love Him. And that is the ultimate consideration. To develop a loving relationship with Him. Now He is there, standing on the altar, allowing us to develop our love for Him. Krishna is saying, I am here. See, let me see how much you love me. Or rather, Krishna is actually saying, I am waiting for you to love me. I am waiting for you to reciprocate my love for you. I love you. Now why don't you love me, please? That is how Krishna is acting. And when we develop our loving relationship with Krishna, then our existence becomes perfect. And that's why for a devotee, when Krishna disappears from this planet, it's the most unfortunate thing. That's how Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling. It was so painful for him that he considered, now what's the point in my being here? Krishna has left, so what's the point in being on this planet? Let me just leave. And that's what he did. Yudhishthira Maharaj would have walked away straight away, but he didn't do that. He just waited till Parikshit Maharaj was coronated in the throne, and after he did that, he just left. And along with him, the other four brothers, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul and Sahadev, and their wife Draupadi, left. They just followed him. And their plan was, just leave and start walking. Without sleeping, without eating, without resting, just walk and walk and walk until the body falls. That's called Mahaprasthan, the great departure. So Krishna left and they also decided to leave. So this is how a devotee feels. Is it some sort of ritual? No. It is out of one's spontaneous love for Krishna that one acts in such a way. Just give up his body. Because now the whole world has become vacant because Krishna has left the planet. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Actually, nowadays, in the age of Kali, everything is inauspicious everywhere. That's why Krishna has given his holy name so that you can always chant and counteract all the effects of those inauspiciousness. That is why the holy name, we have to chant the holy name all the time to counteract all the inauspiciousness. And if you want, you can go take a bath. But best thing is, Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavasthan Gato Piva Yasmarit Pundarikaksha Sa Bhaya Abhantara. When you remember the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Pundarikaksha. And when we chant his name, then, we become purified both externally and internally. And all inauspiciousness disappears.
How
There are two possibilities. One is, when Krishna comes, his associates come from the spiritual sky. And in that respect, we have to understand that just as Krishna can expand himself into unlimited forms, by Krishna's divine arrangement, his devotees also can expand into unlimited forms. And another consideration is that, as I said, the sadhana siddhas, sometimes the sadhana siddhas get a chance to take part in Krishna's pastime and take the role of, like for example, it has been described sometimes that the 108 gopis are the 108 Upanishads, the personalities who are exponents, they are called Rishicharis, the Rishis who are exponents of the Upanishads. So this is how the two possibilities, the associate can come from the spiritual style, and there they can expand into Krishna. If Krishna wants, he can make anything, or he can make impossible possible. Living entities generally cannot expand more than 8 forms. The yogis, when they achieve perfection, they can expand into 8 forms. But Krishna's devotees can expand into unlimited forms. But it is up to Krishna's will. Devotees do not desire to expand their speech. But Krishna's will, out of Krishna out of his causeless mercy and own sweet will can make them expand. Or some living entities in that planet can take the role of a devotee of Krishna, associate of Krishna in his person. Yes, Anishu. Take the mic. It's not switched on. What is last great anger?
Yeah, it was mentioned there that when Kali appear, then these symptoms appear. So to what extent is it a function of this age? And to what extent is it due to our own doing?
It's not that last greed and anger, etc., are prevalent only in the age of Kali. They're always there in the material nature. For a conditioned soul, these influences, the detrimental influences, are always there for a conditioned soul, for a living entity who rejected Krishna. But it's a question of degree. In other ages, they are lesser, and in this age, it is most intensely manifest. Now, ultimately, then the influences of these last greed, anger, again, is a matter of our karma, guna karma, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. In this nature, everything is happening due to guna and karma. So if someone is angry, someone is more influenced by anger, we have to understand it is due to his guna and karma. For example, someone is born as a lion, right? He's always angry. Now, why he's got a lion's body? Because of his karma, guna karma. Similarly, in men also, in human beings also, these karmic influences are there, the modes and the karmic reactions. But a living entity, especially a human being, has the ability to counteract those influence of guna and karma by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So yes, we have the influence and we are actually like puppets in the hands of nature. Everything is happening, prakritik kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvasa. Sarvasa, everything is happening in the nature with every living entity according to the guna and karma. But ahankara vimuratma kartaham iti manate. But being bewildered by his false ego, he thinks that he is the doer. So that is the thing, like, but at the same time, we have our free will. In one hand, there is guna karma and there is free will. Now, if we utilize our free will in a proper way, then we can become free from this influence of lust, greed, and anger. So that is the important consideration. What's the proper way? Follow the process. Accept a spiritual master. Study the scriptures. Act according to the instruction of the Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. And where do they lead us to? They lead us to the lotus feet of Krishna and guide us to surrender to Him. And when you surrender unto Him, aham tvam sarvapapevimukshayami, Krishna frees us from all our sinful reactions. So in one hand we are like puppets, but if we follow the right course, even though we are puppets, we will become, our life will become successful. We can lead to success. We can lead ourselves to success. Yes, Parul?
Guru has asked you about sadhanas and the devotees that, I don't know how to phrase the question, but that they first, because they are perfected souls, so first they enter into Krishna's bhakti and then they go back to all it or they can tell themselves that they go.
Prabhupada said that there are various possibilities. It's not that everybody will go back to God in the same way. Prabhupada mentions about three general possibilities. One possibility is that one fine morning we wake up and find ourselves in the spiritual sky. Or rather, when you go back, when you achieve the spiritual perfection, it's something like waking up from a bad dream. You wake up and you feel, then everything becomes insignificant. Then another possibility is one actually goes, elevates himself gradually. And then comes to, as it has been mentioned, it takes birth in a particular family, in Krishna's pastimes. Like a devotee, will be born a sadhana siddha, as you say. Like this, another possibility is that he takes birth in a cowherd family in Vrindavan. Right? And that's how he gets a chance to take part in Krishna's pastimes. Right? And another possibility is that at the time of death, when he's about to leave his body, then the chariot comes from the spiritual sky and takes him there. So Prabhupada generally speaks about these three kinds of possibilities.
I want to ask one more question, that annihilation of Yadavaj occurs first or Krishna occurs first? I want to ask one more question, that Krishna left this planet first or the Yadavaj destroyed first?
No, Yadus were destroyed, were sent back before. Before Krishna left, you'll find that in the 11th canto. Towards the later part of the 10th canto. that Krishna caused the Jadus to drink rice wine. First they went for a picnic. and on Prabhash Tirtha. And there they drank rice wine. And then they lost their senses. Then they started to fight with each other. And they picked up some reed from the river. And they started to fight. And they killed each other. Now, see, Jadus, so this is Krishna's arrangement to send them back before he left the planet. Yes, Ratnarada.
Krishna is the one who reciprocates the devotee's prayers. And I was just wondering, why is it that sometimes when we pray to the devotee, sometimes we can immediately see how he's reciprocating with us, and other times it seems that he's not answering our prayers and nothing is happening. So.
That is, Krishna wants to make us understand that he is completely independent. It is not that we say, Krishna, do this, and Krishna will do it for us. Sometimes he may do it, but he is completely independent. So we can only pray, and we can leave it up to Krishna. The fulfillment of our prayers is entirely up to Krishna. He is completely independent. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, a child may want something from the father. But the father will give him something that is good for him. Something that is bad for him, the father will not give. Right? Similarly, Krishna knows what is good for us and what is not good for us. So things that are not good for us or beneficial for our spiritual advancement, Krishna will not grant that. If the child says, Daddy, give me a glass of whiskey. Will the father give him? No. Maybe he'll give him a slap. So similarly, Krishna, we have to leave it up to Krishna. What he will grant, and that best thing is not to ask. Pray to Krishna only for service. And for that there is no obstacle. We can always render service to Krishna without any hindrance. There's so many possibilities of rendering service. Yes, Chitranjana?
I was wondering, before I came here, I was very anxious to go to Vrindavan, and there was so much of desire to go. And since I came here, I'm just so happy to be here. I don't feel like I'm from Vrindavan. And I just feel very comfortable with the ladies, and I feel a relationship with them here. But the scriptures say that we must go to Vrindavan and see Krishna in this Vrindavan pastime. And we feel in the next room instruction that that is ultimately the abode. So sometimes I feel guilty about it, I should be feeling I want to go to Vrindavan, I need to see Krishna's pastimes there. So how does this happen? How come one can feel so attached to a particular deity in a particular place or even our own deities and not want to go on to other towns and just be happy here?
You see, ultimately Vrindavan is where Krishna is. Of course, Vrindavan is also there on the earth planet. But the ultimate consideration is where Krishna is, where your service is. That is Vrindavan. Like once Prabhupada wrote to one of his godbrothers, Prabhupada used to consider him to be his senior godbrother. So he wrote to him that, what should I do if I... Prabhupada was in America at that time. His health was not so good. So he wrote to him, what shall I do if I have to leave my body in America? I very much want to leave my body in Vrindavan, So his godbrother replied that wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Because a devotee like you, who is so dear to Krishna, wherever you are, Krishna is there in that place. Here's Jamuna Priya. Those days there was no telephone, fax, emails. So communication was difficult those days. Anyway, it happened. Like those days the distances were not so easily accessible. And say for example, Krishna went to Dwarka, Krishna went to Hastinapur, right? During his absence from Dwarka, we see, like, they didn't get any message. They were just waiting impatiently for Krishna's return. Some message came by through some ways, but that was not a daily communication like. Once in a while they got some message from somebody, if somebody came from there. And Arjun was away in Hastinapur. It happened, often it happened, like Arjun went to the heavenly planet for 1 year. There was no communication. So they are used to that. It's not like today. Like every day you are bombarded with all kinds of informations. If it is from a desirable source, that is nice. But oftentimes there are so many informations from undesirable sources. So it is, and we can see that their relationship just did not depend upon the communication as such. Their relationship depended on their love for each other. And nowadays there is so much communication but no love. Those days there was less communication but full of love. All expansions are his plenary portions. Krishna's expansions take place in two different ways. One is Swansa, the other is Vibhinnamsa. One is the plenary portion, the other is part and parcel. Right? Part and parcels are the jivas. But the plenary portions are Krishna's own expansions. Krishna himself expands. Or he empowers somebody. But generally plenary portions are, the first one is Balaram. From Balaram expands Chaturbhuha, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then from Pradyumna expands Narayans. Then Narayans have innumerable Narayans and they have their Chaturbhuha. Right? And then there is the expansion of Karanadakshay Vishnu, the Mahavishnu. Then Garbhodakshay Vishnu, then Kshiyodakshay Vishnu. And in this way, Krishna expands in Andantarascha Paramanachayantarastha. Andantarastha, he is situated in the hearts of the universe. And he is also situated in every single atom. Okay, so last question. Okay, Parul, okay, give it to Raghunandan. He raised his hand before. And Parul's is the last question. Bangla?
Bangla.
Oh, achha. Bajranav is Krishna's great grandson. He survived. The other elderly members left their body. But Bajranav was the only last one. Yes, give it to him. See, ultimately, going back to Godhead depends entirely up to Krishna. It is not that we can go back to Godhead. Oh, I am so pure, so I must be qualified. It is not like that. It's up to Krishna. Going back to Godhead, our going back to Godhead will depend entirely up to Krishna. If Krishna wants, he can take anything. And if some devotee may not be completely pure, but the devotees are chanting the holy name, and he is submissive, he has full faith in the holy name, then yes, at the time of death, Krishna can make arrangements for him to go back to God. Okay, Hare Krishna. अच्छा ओके हाँ बताइए अच्छा बोलिए मैं
ऐसा प्रॉब्लम आया कि भगवान कृष्ण ने ये कहा कि मैं वृंदावन बेचकर एक पद भी कहीं और नहीं जाता इज इट ट्रू आर इज देयर इन कंट्रडिक्शन
अच्छा हाँ वेरी गुड क्वेश्चन द क्वेश्चन इज दैट इट हैज बीन मेंशन्ड इन I'm forgetting the where it has been mentioned. I think in one of the Sandarbhas that Krishna is saying Vrindavanam Parityajya Padam Ekamna Gacchami. Because I mentioned Krishna Ayam Yadusambhuta So Jatra Vrindavanam Parityajya Kutra Kadapi Na Gacchati. Vrindavan chhodkar Krishna kabhi bhi kahin nahi jate. कृष्णा इसके पहले और एक ये है शब्द है कि कृष्णा अन्न यदु संभूत तो यदु वंश में जो कृष्ण है यदु वंश का जो कृष्ण वासुदेव कृष्ण है वो और एक कृष्ण और स्वयं भगवान कृष्ण जो है वो वृंदावन छोड़कर कभी नहीं जाते अर्थात जब वासुदेव के पुत्र वासुदेव और देवकी के पुत्र के रूप में मैं अंग्रेजी में बोलूंगा ओके सो लेट मी से इट इन इंग्लिश सो दैट एवरीबॉडी कैन अंडरस्टैंड द क्वेश्चन इज यू अंडरस्टूड द क्वेश्चन कृष्ण इट इज सेड दैट कृष्ण नेवर लिव्स वृंदावन ही डजंट इवन टेक अ स्टेप आउट ऑफ वृंदावन द क्वेश्चन इज देन हाउ इज इट दैट कृष्ण वेंट टू मथुरा कृष्ण वेंट टू द्वारका But here it is saying that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So the first line actually of this verse describes the one, the Yadu, the Krishna that is born in the Yadu, that is Vasudev Krishna, is another Krishna. But Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he never leaves Vrindavan. So this has been explained as when Devaki and Vasudev gave birth to Vasudev Krishna in Mathura, at that time Nanda Maharaj and mother Yashoda gave birth to a twin, one son and a daughter. And then when Vasudev brought Krishna to Vrindavan, it was dark, so he didn't see, he only saw the daughter. And when he placed the son on the bed, then the Nandanandan Krishna and Devaki Nandan Krishna, they became one. And he picked up the daughter and brought her to Mathura. Then when Akrura came to take Krishna to Mathura on Kekamsa's invitation to Dhanurjagya, at that time when they came to the border of Mathura and Vrindavan, Krishna took bath in Brahmakunda. And at that time Akrura saw Krishna as Narayan in the water, 4 hours. So at that time that Vasudev Krishna came and sat in the chariot. So Akrura actually brought Vasudev Krishna to Mathura and Brajendranandan Krishna went back to Vrindavan. So this is how Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Nandanandan Krishna, Yashodanandan Krishna, never leaves Vrindavan. And Vasudev Krishna then goes to Mathura and then he goes to Dwarka. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shiva. Gaur Premanande.